I'll let you open up with a song, and then we'll catch up a bit. Here's Dan Levinson along with Andy Trimble.
A little bit of a tune called Glory Medley. It's only one tune, but it's called Glory. They figure the fellow who they collect that was collected from you said Glory Medley. And maybe melody, but here it is.
Beautifully done, excuse me, with Dan. Beautifully done, I'll just cough. Beautifully done with Dan Levinson on fiddle, Annie on guitar. And Dan, you played in the Boiled Buzzards too, which made me think, I wonder if you were here on that fateful day when we christened the studio.
Well, I have never been in this studio. And in fact, the last time I probably played for you was, I know how we might be able to date it. It was like 2 weeks or 2 months after Aileen Goodman passed away.
Oh, my
goodness.
You
were still on the CMU campus.
I forgot we had her as a mutual person. Wow.
It plays prominently in one of the stories of during my shows. Formative years of my life.
Annie, do you know about... do you know Aileen Goodman?
No.
So Aileen Goodman was... A friend to me was a friend of my parents,
right?
Who, if my memory is right, played guitar,
correct,
and was a folklorist. And boy, I haven't thought about this in ages. Was a folklorist, a great singer, yeah, and interpreter of songs. And to me, as a kid, you know, it was a my mom having the Fats Waller songbook on the piano, among others, and mm-hmm, it was our having all of Aileen Goodman's records,
yes,
and also having Aileen Goodman available to come over to the house every now and then. And that's a memory.
Yeah,
you know, these things in your mind that don't get pulled out.
She was part of my mom and dad's folk music circle, and they would go to each other's homes for the sing around. You know, we think of all these things that we're doing as sometimes modern or we're just back in the country, but you know, in my earliest years and probably before, my dad and mom met at a square dance, and they used to sing with and have Aileen Goodman over to the house, and we'd go over to their house. And
do you remember
very, very young.
Yeah, I was too. Do you remember an album she did about Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
And it had a song in it, Pittsburgh Songs for a City, Pittsburgh City, something
that
like
that. That was Song of the City or Song for the City.
Yeah.
Was Bob Schmertz on the same album, or was it his
Robert
album?
Schmertz.
It was
I think
Sing,
Bob,
his yeah was Sing O the City O.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I probably have this record somewhere. Yeah. I should pull them out.
I'd love to see them again.
I could remember.
We had all of them, yeah.
I could remember them as a child. I mean, I could picture them. What a small world.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, while everybody was going to baseball games and football games and playing ball, you know, my buddies and I, one friend of mine, we'd go down to Carnegie Library and listen to the records in the listening room.
Yeah.
I've got to say that Dan grew up in Pittsburgh. I mean,
I grew up being a relative.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
Where did you grow up,
that's
Dan?
Before my time.
Dan, where did you grow up?
I was raised in Squirrel Hill.
Okay. Florida. And I was out in Churchill, mm-hmm. and Annie's a Californian.
Right.
But she's still in common.
You've just proven the age-old history that no matter how long you live in Pittsburgh, you're not from there.
Right, right. Annie's lived in Pittsburgh for
27 years.
Yes.
Yeah, 27 years.
She's still the Californian.
Yeah.
You know,
and in fact, I met her in West Virginia the first time. Mm-hmm. I was living in Cleveland, and the Boiled Buzzards were playing sort of based out of Cleveland. We adopted Annie into the band, and soon after, another Pittsburgher, Mark Tamsula, got adopted into the band. And we played Columbus a lot. We used to like to say, being from Cleveland and Pittsburgh and playing Columbus a lot, we were local in three cities.
Well, tonight you can hear Dan, and it wouldn't surprise me if Annie or Kurt maybe pops in. But they'll be doing a house concert in Mount Lebanon this evening, and we'll give you an email address is probably the best thing.
A phone
number.
A
phone. So it's 412-343-0498.
Right.
How did I do that? I still 412-343-0498. It's in my head. I don't know where I parked this morning, but that's in my head from many years ago. Do call though for information about how to get to the show and the details. Dan, you've traveled so much, haven't you?
Very much. I probably left Pittsburgh a little over 30 years ago now, being born and raised. I mean, my parents were here. My grandfather was born here. But about 30 years ago, I started moving around a little bit, partly for work. And then a couple years after that, I became a full-time on-the-road performer. So traveled the country back and forth 2 and 3 times a year. And now I have a home. I guess I call Tucson, Arizona my home these days. Been there for 2 years again. And I still have an old farmstead in southern Ohio that I bought probably close to 20 years ago now. So back and forth.
So you've got two terminal points to begin and end your trip going back and forth.
I'm getting old enough to not sure I like the word terminal, but I understand the concept. Yes.
Yes. Right after that came out of my mouth, I was thinking.
Do you remember on the south side they used to have a terminal way?
Oh, yeah.
There was the terminal lunch.
Yeah.
I always worried about the restaurant called Terminal Lunch. It's like on Terminal Way.
Well, there's
excuse me.
That's the whole the terminal building. So I know exactly where you mean, the Terminal Lunch.
Yeah, the old terminal building down there.
Yeah, that would be scary.
Right on Carson Street.
Oh, my gosh. I haven't thought about that.
But, yeah, I have. I guess I still call Pittsburgh home because it's where I've lived the longest. And I still have family. My younger son still lives here. His brother's actually moving back here next month. He's been in the Navy for some years, and he'll be stationed here for a couple of years. So this is really home. But again, I have farmland in southern rural Ohio. And
whereabouts? Well, you mentioned Lima off the air. Are you close to Lima?
No, actually, a friend of mine lives in Lima, but I'm in just about 20 miles rural to a town called Gallipolis, which was the second oldest community in Ohio, of established communities in Ohio. Morgan's Raiders went through back there. And last couple of years, I've been reading some of the John Eckert books that a fellow from New York turned me onto, of all places. And he talks about that, the whole development of the Ohio Valley.
Interesting. Now, WMCO is in New Concord, Ohio, in Muskingum County, which I should have a map of Ohio in front of me.
I'm about an hour south of Athens. Athens would be my closest college town, shall we say.
Well, boy, Athens has a great folk
scene. Oh, fabulous. Beautiful store. Blue Eagle Music is up there. I was in there 2 weeks ago, and you know who was in there? You know who else is in that area? Yorma. Yorma was in there.
Oh, yeah.
Took his first banjo lesson from me a couple weeks ago, but he has a camp in Athens County. Meigs County, sorry, yeah.
I guess I have many favorites, but two, legends in my music mind live in Ohio, and it always amazes me. One is John Hendricks of Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross, lives in Toledo, which blew me away. And then when I found out Yorma lived there recently, yeah. I was really surprised to learn that. I'm sure there's others, too.
Oh, there are. And it feels very much like this area right here, you know.
Yeah.
Walking through Frick Park last night with my son, whose birthday is today, by the way.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Josh.
Josh, happy birthday to you.
It's amazing how similar it is and how similar the whole way down the Ohio Valley, the Ohio River Valley, the music and all. So.
Well, after your next song, I'd like to talk a little bit about maybe some similarities you've seen across the country as you go from place to place. But what would you two like to do next?
Well, we're talking about traveling and sort of hobo working across the country. So what do you say we do a little bit of old Bill Jones and the Milwaukee Blues?
Trying to get home.
I was way down Georgia on a tramp. Road's getting muddy, the leaves are getting damp. Gotta hop me a freight train and leave this town. But they don't like hobos hanging around.
Hanging around. No hanging around.
No, they don't like hobos hanging around.
Said, son, you've got to pay. Don't got any money upon my shoes. Tried to get west, got the Milwaukee Blues.
Got the Milwaukee Blues.
Got the Milwaukee Blues.
I'm just trying to get west, got the Milwaukee Blues.
Old Bill Jones said, for a die, won't you fix the rails so the folks can ride dogs. When they ride the frogs. Put their lives in the hands of God.
In the hands of God. In the hands of God. Yeah, put their lives in the hands of God.
Now, old Bill Jones said, for a die, there's two more rails that I'd like to ride. Conductor said, pretend they'd be there. The Sun Pacific and the Santa Fe.
Santa Fe, oh Santa Fe, there's the Southern Pacific and the Santa Fe.
Now old Bill Jones had for a dive, one more drink than I'd like to try. Fireman said, boy, what can it be? Glass of whiskey with a cup of tea.
With a cup of tea, with a cup of tea.
I want a glass of whiskey and a cup of tea. Was one chilly morning, looked like rain. Round the corner, coming past the train. And on the blind, old Bill Jones, good old hobo, just trying to get home.
Trying to get home.
Going home.
Trying to get home. His good old hobo, just trying to get home.
You two make a nice duo, Annie Trimble.
Playing together for, what, 20,
yeah. 25 years. Yeah, Annie's always my first call when I want or need an additional performer on a show, anywhere, anytime. We'll be going to Arkansas in August, as a matter of fact.
That's great.
We'll be doing some shows in Arkansas and in Columbus. Over at Natalie's coal-fired pizza, if you can imagine coal-fired. You'd think you'd find that in Pittsburgh, coal-fired pizza.
Coal-fired?
Coal-fired pizza.
So. I guess that's a grill, but it's still, no, it's a little different. That
it's
would be charcoal.
It's got to be a pizza oven, so we'll find it. We will report back. So, we'll have Annie report back.
How do you keep a journal as you go across, or how do you keep track of all these places that I'm imagining you must get to at least 100 places a year, maybe?
It, probably, if that many. Yeah. But, you know, when you're there are certain business aspects of running a business as a musician that stand consistent. Answer the phone, call them back, keep your calendar up to date.
Yes.
And that calendar is probably, you know, the most important, just making sure a lot of paperwork on things. So I've got files of where I've been and flyers and posters over the years. Have been kind of fun. But.
And probably, you know, picking, is your route somewhat consistent, or that's what I was
not
curious about?
Never. There are several jobs that you'll do for several years in a row. I want to say probably for 9 years, I did the John Campbell Folk School in Western North Carolina, so I probably knew that was coming every year for a while. Or when we did the Little Mountain Folk Festival mm-hmm. from Cleveland, that was every year for probably 10 years. We've done Arkansas. What's Arkansas now? 4 years? 5 years?
This will be fourth.
Fourth year going out to the Arkansas thing. So you have those kind of, I call them anchors. They're the gigs that are run by more formal organizations. They usually have a little higher ticket to them.
That's better than terminal points. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Although an anchor.
Yeah, well, it's true. Yeah. With
tent
the river close by.
Tent poles.
They're the corners of the tour.
But we've had the opportunity to, we played in England for an old-time festival out there, which is really cool.
Yeah, that was way fun.
I went to China for
Right. Oh, I remember that. I didn't realize.
I was originally supposed to go, and some situations happened that just made it impossible for me to do it. But Annie still went, and I got to go vicariously.
He ended up in a lot of the programs. It's pretty funny. Yeah. For the China show.
So. Oh, yeah. Wow, that guy looks really different. That's
especially since it was a girl that went.
Yeah, his place.
They were whiting out the D's, you know, everywhere, and adding more consonants.
Yeah, there you go.
As you traveled, did you find some similarities in the towns as you went from place to place, or
I really have. There are, you know, you get. There are some regionalisms. I mean, if you go to a Kansas town, you're going to probably find in a lot of them this yellow sandstone or yellow granite that they cut a lot of the buildings out of, and you'll see a central church in some of them. As you go down the river towns all have the same kind of feel, whether it's the Ohio River or, you know, the Sacramento River out west, for instance. There's a lot of similarities, and people have spread and intermingled as they've gone so long that even the changes are kind of gradual.
How about in the kinds of audiences that come to see you and their interaction with the music? For example, the likelihood to get up and dance or to be quiet as a mouse while you're playing? Are the audiences a little different?
I find them different almost everywhere. Some differences. I mean,
yeah, they're probably different within Pittsburgh too, depending on the venue.
Yeah. We get about half musicians and half just music lovers. So,
I tend to attract more of the old folk crowd as well as the hardcore old time crowd. So, for instance, I did a California swing with Bob Carlin. We did about 3 weeks up and down, and there was one particular, I think San Diego, which I had been to over and over, and he hadn't very often. And he was like, he just didn't connect with that crowd, and he was very clear. He said, that was your crowd. And that's where I started to see some of that. And if it was a very historic bunch, for instance, at I think Topanga Canyon area, some of that, Bob connected better. So
well,
it was just
Bob's,
different.
Bob's very traditional, at least my memory of Bob.
Yeah, he's very historic in his presentations. You know, he's very much tie it to two very older traditions, and I'm much more on the, you know, we take it and we do with it what works for us. We present it differently.
This is Dan Levinson, and Annie Trimble is here too. Dan does a house concert tonight at 7 o'clock in Mount Lebanon.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, thank you, in Mount Lebanon.
Well, and they'd be early that way. At least they wouldn't be late.
Well, but I – you don't want everybody coming. Boy, I said 7 in our newsletter. I'm sorry, 8. I'll fix that. 8. I'll make sure our website's correct. But you would need to call anyway. Mm-hmm. So the first thing Annie will tell you is – it's 8. 412-343-4. I'm going to let you do it.
412-343-0498. And Kurt is at home right now.
So Kurt's home taking calls. So you can talk to Kurt. We can call him. Kurt's at home right now saying, 8. I'm telling you it's 8. 412-343-0498. Kurt, I hope you're smiling. He's smiling. He's ready
Kurt's
to grab the
smiling.
Phone.
Yes, he is.
So how did you come by these instruments, Dan? Which did you learn first, the banjo or the fiddle?
They sort of go back and forth, you know. I mean, my first instrument was actually piano for about a year. And about third grade, our piano broke. And talk about friends and people in the family in this community. Stanley Levin was the director of music education for the Pittsburgh Public Schools, and he was also a friend of my mom's. And she took me down to Stanley and let me play all these things and decided I should play the violin. So I played violin pretty much through grade school and high school and picked up guitar through that. But at the same time, always tried the banjo, kept trying different things with the banjo. And my dad listened to a lot of banjo music. He listened to Flatt and Scruggs and Stanley Brothers and the whole route. But once I got out on my own, and when I came back to what we saw traditional music, I probably started with the banjo first, and then about 6 years into that, picked up the fiddle again as a fiddle instead of violin. And those have been my primary instruments probably for the last 30 years or so.
I've forgotten how fun it is to listen to you play. There's so much melodic or almost, I guess melodic's the right word, but I love clawhammer banjo, and you're used to hearing pretty much primarily rhythm.
Yeah.
And with your playing, you hear so many interesting runs and almost a combination of finger picking atop that rhythm that I think is rare.
And I think it's let me do a little solo banjo thing here. I've been working on some of the older. When you listen to the old masters, to Wade World, Kyle Creed, Fred Cockrum, all those, they were a lot more melodic than modern players are playing. And I was at a camp in Tennessee, one of my first years down going to some of the camps when I was working in Cleveland. I was working at a music store, and I went down, and Clyde Davenport looks. He says, "Well, Dan," he says, "you know, the banjo's job is to follow the fiddler note for note." And he's talking about the basic melody of the tune. And we've kind of stripped a lot of the melody, both out of the, not just the banjo, but the fiddle as well. People have gotten so... they've either gotten so melodic, they've so ornamental that it loses that rhythm that you're talking about, or they got so rhythmic they stripped the melody. And the banjo is really a combination of both. So I'm going to do an old Joe Clark, but it's more like Wade Ward would have played it than we're used to hearing it today.
Thank you. was so fun.
And you can hear the mix and the interchange. You know, and it's kind of been my mission over the years to go back and find these older versions, put the melodies back. Just had a new book come out with Mel Bates, 14th book I've produced for them, called Beyond the Waterfall and Extraordinary Tunes, which some of these versions of those tunes are now in. And they're more less normal tunes you don't always hear at a jam session, but that were part of such a rich tradition. That's getting lost. You know?
Yeah, it is really fun to watch you play with the way you're picking with the backs of your fingers as well as the front. And
it's old people's playing. You know, yeah. It's people who've worked with their hands. At their hands, if you could see it, if you just lay your hands out in front and let your fingers go, everything just curls.
Yeah.
And you turn your left hand up, turn your right hand down, and there's your positions both for claw hammer and fiddling.
Yeah, I never thought about that. Dan just mentioned the book, and I was just about to mention that Claude Dan is his website, clawdan.com, and you will find there, dare I say, a plethora of books and CDs. And this is a life's master that has, you know, spent his whole adult life creating styles of playing and keeping the folk tradition moving forward. And there's a lot available. So take a look at his website to learn more and also where he's going to be next.
Yes. Thank you.
Annie, how did you guys meet?
Well, I was about 3 months after I moved here. And it was October of 1989. A friend and I went down to the West Virginia FootMad, Friends of Old Time Music and Dance Festival. And that was just a pivotal epiphany for me because I met so many people that I have been fast friends for the last 26 years, met them there. Yeah. And I ended up jamming with Dan, and then I guess about 6 months later, he asked me to join the Buzzards. So,
you found a community.
I met Kate Long, I met Jenny Hawker, and Stu Mulligan.
Stu Mulligan. He was down to see Keith last week.
I'm glad you mentioned Kate. I thought of her this week, and not to get overly personal. Have you talked with her since the flooding?
I mean, I need to call her. It's been a while since I've talked to her.
We've, in fact, you may be tuned in. We do have some listeners in West Virginia that can pick us up either through our radio network or on the internet. I've mentioned throughout the morning, but again, words don't bail basements or fix homes or bring back lives or anything you've lost. But we've been thinking a lot about you. It's been relatively dry here in southwestern Pennsylvania, and you know, not 100 miles away, there's just been horrible flooding in West Virginia, the kind that, you know, happens once every 100 or so years. So we've been thinking about you. Yeah. You've both played throughout.
Oh, absolutely.
We were in West Virginia last week.
Like I said, my place in southern Ohio is right on the West Virginia border. So.
I can't believe it. We've yacked. You know, Ricky and Dan were talking, and, oh, Dan's going to do maybe 3 songs or so. And I'm thinking, oh, we should get more out than that. We have about 5 minutes of radio time left. 412-343-0498, 8 o'clock tonight. And if you can't remember the number, just email us at slb@slbradio.org. I'll get you the information. You need a nice opportunity for to see Dan in Pittsburgh, his home habitat.
My hometown.
You know, one of the anchors of his life. Can you, would you like to play us out? Or
what
with
can
something?
You do, can't get there?
People love this song.
That's a great song. Let me see if I get the banjo up to you real
quick. As you do that, I'm just going to thank our other guests today, the amazing Echo Valley, 7 siblings, also the Center for Young Musicians Pianists, and Pat Joseph from Jam on a Walnut. And thanks to you, of course, for being here as well, and our thanks to Annie Trimble. They fixed the West End circle as a result of her, you know.
It's not in the
Although it's still, did you folk process? Yeah.
Yeah. Every time it's I record it, it's been different.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And so we do that one on Early Bird.
Yeah, Early Bird.
It's on Early Bird Special. So.
When first I moved to Pittsburgh, unfamiliar with this town, I bought myself a city map to learn my way around. A lot of good it did me, though, and it soon became quite clear. The guys who made that map have never driven around here. Oh, you can't get there from here. No, you can't get there from here. Pittsburghers, sing it loud and clear. You can't get there from here. Well, I'd been here just a week or two when I received a call from a new friend. I'd agreed to drive down to the local mall. When I asked her for directions to her house, she said to me, "It's easy, hon, you turn right where the old hills used to be. Oh, you can't get there from here, no, you can't get there from here. Pittsburghers, sing it loud and clear, you can't get there from here." I didn't know if Hills was a department store or where it had been. One day I stopped in Aspinwall for reasons I forget. To get back on the highway, going south would be no sweat. Wrong, at last a sign for 28. But what I didn't see was the arrow for the turn I missed, well hidden by a tree. Oh, you can't get there from here. No, you can't get there from here. Pittsburghers, sing it loud and clear. You can't get there from here. Well, here's a few things that I've learned since I moved to Pittsburgh. Well, Brady's Bridge won't take you to the south side from downtown. There's five roads here called Washington. South Heights is north of town. They say that Mars is close to here, the green belt sometimes blue. And now I know that 7th Street ends at 6th Avenue. Oh, you can't get there from here. No, you can't get there from here. Pittsburghers, sing it loud and clear. You can't get there from here. So if you're trying to get from Rosslyn Farms to Moon or Beaver Falls, Fort Pitt Tubes to Carson Street, McMurray to Mont Hall, if you try and use a Veterans Bridge to get to a Steelers game, take it from one who's been around and around and around and around. The story's still the same. Oh, you can't get there from here. No, you can't get there from here. Pittsburghers, sing it loud and clear. You can't get there from here. Everybody, you can't get there from here. No, you can't get there from here. Pittsburghers, sing it loud and clear.